The title that I have for the lesson this afternoon is Segregated Sundays. I had made mention of the fact concerning this very thing whenever we were there 2 weeks ago on a Monday. Let me give you a little bit of background on it, where we had talked 2 or 3 weeks before that, whenever you came and dropped off the flyer for the meeting. I said to this congregation, because you were here on a Sunday, and I said to this congregation, I was giving the invitation at the end of the assembly, that I go into these kind of fantasy things, you know, as a preacher. That one day, the one God holding us will call up and say, would you come and bring us a lesson this coming Sunday? I sure will. And I think about what I would present and so forth. Or maybe a Baptist congregation, would you come and preach? Yes, I will. I know I wouldn't be invited back, but I would come. And I said, well, I would just love if I was invited to say something. And I was. Now, I'm going to call that not luck. I'm going to call that the providence of God.
Amen.
And I mentioned to you while I was there Monday in the short time that I spoke to you that a statement was made by Martin Luther King, and I have the date now. It was April the 17th of 1960 on Meet the Press. And he makes the statement and he says, it is appalling that the most segregated hour in Christian America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I don't care who the truth comes from, where it's truth.
Amen.
And I know that he did not stand for truth as far as his doctrine was concerned.
Amen.
But his statement concerning segregation, and that in connection with God's will and what God desires, and it was spot on.
Amen.
And he spoke the truth. And you know, here we are. I didn't clock it. I don't know if anybody has clocked it. Now, I'm going to guess not more than a mile and a half apart. And we look at that situation, and I think that what we should do is really ask ourselves why. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about segregation, because there is a proper segregation. There is a proper segregation that is recognized, not only recognized, but also it is demanded by God. But I'll tell you, and I'm just going to give it to you in advance, it's not about color. It's not about race. When you look back in Genesis, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 3, you have the antediluvian world, fancy word for the world before the flood. And you see God looking upon the world and he says the thoughts of men are only evil continually. And what brought that on was that the sons of God, and I'll tell you that's not angels. Some will say, well, that was the angels. The angels came down and they had relations with human women. That is not the case. I understand that from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, wherever Jesus spoke there to the Sadducees. And remember, there were 7 brothers that had the same wife and never was a child of any of them. And Sadducees had asked this question many times. You look back in history and it's been recorded. It was unanswerable. No man had ever been able to answer the question, whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? They asked that question because they didn't believe in the afterlife. They did not believe in the afterlife. Well, I'll tell you, they asked the one that could answer it.
Amen.
That was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he makes a statement there that those that pass from this life to the one to come are like the angels in heaven in that they neither marry nor are given in marriage.
Amen.
So the sons of God that is here, as mentioned here in Genesis, the 6th chapter, it's not angels. It's those that are in covenant relationship with God. And what happened to the world was, is that men forgot that covenant that God had set up with them. What was the name of that covenant? I don't know. But I know that it was there. I know that where there is no sin, then there is no law.
Amen.
Since they had violated God's law, I understand then that there had to be, or since they had sinned and God was punishing them for that, there had to be law from God. And we understand that. We understand the logic of that. When we look back then, we can see that God had made a demand in the identification of the sons of God in the covenant relationship, as opposed to the daughters of men, those who were outside the covenant relationship with God. Whatever that covenant was in the pre-flood world, but it was by God. And we understand man has never been without law before God. We understand that. So God called for segregation there. And that at that time, it was before the flood. Before the flood. But we go on a little bit further and we look also in Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 3 through 6. Exodus 20, verses 3 through 6. And we understand that there was a separation that was made by God of those that were descendants of Abraham. And there in Exodus, the 20th chapter, and there we look at verses 3 through 6, we understand that God had given them, as He is doing right now, a written law, written down. And by the way, who wrote that law? God did. In the initiation of the law, on what we call the Ten Commandments, He wrote it with His own finger. Let me just understand that in that thought, in that aspect, God did not leave it up to man to say, tell you what, you worship me however you want, that'll be fine. Well, these are the laws that God gave. God demands worship as determined by Him, not as determined by man. So He says there, when we look in Exodus 20 verses 3 through 6, it shows forth a segregation that was expected by God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven or in earth, and earth beneath, or that is in the water or under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am a Lord. I am the jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation to those who hate me. Now understand this, God is not saying, He is not saying, Garen has sinned, and so Jimmy's going to be accountable for that sin. What He's saying is that there are always consequences of sin.
Amen.
And the consequences of sin was what they would reap if their fathers led them in influence down the path of idolatry. And that's what happened. I'll tell you, that still happens today. Think about it from this standpoint. The mother that is on crack cocaine that gives birth to a child, and that child is addicted to crack cocaine. What did that child do to cause that?
Amen.
Nothing. But the consequences of that mother came in upon that child. The child was innocent in that. The mother was not. So we see also segregation was given where we look at the time under the Mosaic law that was given unto the children of Israel, those that were blood relation tracing back to Abraham. But we also see that Christians are to be segregated.
Amen.
Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and there we're going to look beginning in verse 14. Brother Jimmy, would you read that beginning in verse 14, please, sir? 2 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 14.
Verse 14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Okay, who is an unbeliever? Where if you look at that identification there, you look at unbeliever, you understand, and we have to understand from what is presented to us in Scripture, an unbeliever is serving one that says there is no God. As a matter of fact, the psalmist says two times in the book of Psalms, the fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Amen.
That's an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
But is that the only unbeliever? Well, you think about what was, and by the way, this was quoted, and I can't remember if it was by Jimmy or by, in one of the sermons that was presented during that meeting, James 2nd chapter, verse 19, thou believest that there is one God?
Yes.
Thou doest well, period, end of comment. Is that right?
Nope. That's
the demons, the devils also believe
Amen.
In trouble.
Amen.
It's no step to believe that there is a God. This watch came about because there was a watchmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example of this. I was studying with a young man several years ago that was an atheist. Denied the existence of God, believed that all of this world, this universe, came about because of a large explosion. We went out to lunch after our study, and I pulled up in front of a subway that had just been built. He didn't even know it was in town. I said, when did they build that? I said, they didn't build it. He said, yeah, I see it right there. I said, no, there was an explosion here earlier this week. And all the employees and all the food and the lights and the tables, it just appeared. It just appeared. He says, you're making fun of me. I said, no. I'm showing forth logic.
Amen.
Where there is something, there's a maker.
Amen.
And we have something and we have a maker.
Amen.
Continue reading, please.
It says, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness?
Stop right there. Now he identifies even more about the unbelief. It is those that are opposed to righteousness.
Amen.
Continue.
And what communion has light with darkness?
How in the world can you be aligned? How in the world can you be with those that are in darkness when you are light? What he's saying is, I demand segregation. Go ahead.
And what concord has Christ with
Belial?
Belial,
the worthless one.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
And what part has he that believeth with infidels.
Has no part with that. Segregation required by God. Continue.
Amen. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?
Absolutely none. You look at what's taking place in religion today and people are involved in entertainment.
Amen.
It is that which tantalizes the senses. They want to have enjoyment from that rather than being fulfilled with God's word. Let me tell you, that's a shame. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. For ye are the temple of the living God.
Who is the temple of the living God? Christians are.
Amen.
Go ahead.
As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them.
Tell you what, who is God going to dwell in? It's not the unbeliever. Who's God going to dwell in? The one in darkness, not them.
Amen.
Those that are temple of devils, no, he's not going to dwell in them. Who will he dwell in? Those that are righteous,
Amen.
Those that are in the light, those that are looking to do his will. Continue
Amen.
On.
And I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
When? When there is true belief and true action in accordance with God's will. Now. Next verse.
Wherefore, come out from among them.
I don't know why this happens. It happens quite often. I don't think it's because I'm white. But I heard you read for Brother John and for others mm-hmm. during that, and you read well.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to really read what's there. What is there is this. It says, we are all the same.
Amen.
We're exactly the same.
Amen.
There's one God. Now, you may believe one thing. I believe another. You believe in faith only. I don't believe in faith only. You believe salvation by prayer. Lord Jesus, come to my heart. Be my personal Savior. I don't believe the Scriptures teach that. We're all one. So now read it right. It says, what?
Wherefore, come out from among them.
Are you sure that that's what it says?
That's what it says.
That's what it says. I like people arguing with me. In connection to the truth. And here we have the truth, don't we? Go ahead.
It says, and be ye separate.
Do what?
Be ye separate.
Segregate yourself.
Amen.
He's not talking to those prior to the flood. He's not talking about those that are of the Mosaic covenant that are long past. But rather, he's talking about us today.
Amen.
And he's talking about those that are Christians.
Amen.
Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And what?
And touch not the unclean.
Don't be involved in things that are the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life.
Amen.
You worry about that which is spiritual. What is spiritual? God is spirit, and
Amen.
How are we to worship him?
In spirit
and in truth. John 4, verse 24. Continue on.
And I will receive you.
Ah, I will receive you.
Amen.
If there's an affirmation of I will receive you if you do this,
mm-hmm.
then there's an opposite to it.
All right. Mm-hmm. There you go.
If you just throw your arms around everybody from a religious standpoint, from doctrine.
There you go.
If you will accept the fellowship with anybody,
mm-hmm.
then he will not receive us.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He receives us when we walk in the light.
Amen.
When we do not give over to the worthless one, but lie.
Amen.
When we walk in righteousness.
Amen.
Continue on, please.
He said, and will be a father unto you.
I will be a father unto you. So therefore, if he's a father unto us, when we follow his will, we are what unto him? His children, his sons.
Amen.
Go ahead.
And ye shall be my sons and daughters. Said the Lord Almighty.
You will be my people. You will be my family.
Amen.
To what extent? Have you thought about that? Romans 8 chapter.
Amen.
Romans 8 chapter verses 14 through 18. Here's the extent. Let me tell you, there are some awesome passages in the Bible. All of them are awesome. But there are some that are so profound, it may be just me, but there are some that are so profound that we really need to pay attention to. And we're talking about the relationship with God as Father. That's what we're talking about.
Amen.
If we follow righteousness, if we follow light, if we do his will. What does he say? I'm going to change readers. You did a good job. Thank you, Brother Reggie. Would
yes,
you
sir.
Read beginning of verse 14?
It says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Okay, if you're led by the Spirit of God, by the way, how in the world are we led by the Spirit of God? Lord, I'm just waiting for you to come and you give me a sign. I'm waiting for something to happen. Lighting bolt, whatever it is. You give me some sort of sign. No. Think back to what is stated in Ephesians 4, chapter verse 4. Keep your passage right there. You're fine. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There's one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. How does the Spirit work today? Through the Word of God.
Amen.
Through the Word of God. If we are led by the Spirit of God, we are what? Brother?
They are the sons of God.
Sons of God. And if what?
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption.
You have not received a spirit, or the spirit that puts you in bondage, but you have received the spirit of freedom through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That has placed you then into adoption. None of us here are natural born family of God. We are adopted when we become children of God.
Amen.
Brother Reggie, continue.
Whereby we cry, Abba Father.
We cry, Abba Father.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit.
We are taught by the Word, by the Spirit through the Word.
Amen.
It bears witness with that. That is how we know what to do, because we have a word from God.
Amen.
Continue.
That we are the children of God.
We are not only sons, we are the children of God.
Amen.
By the way, both male and female.
Amen.
Go ahead.
And if children, then heirs of God.
We're heirs of God. Is there something God has that we want?
Yes, yes.
I want an everlasting life.
Yes, yes.
I want that. We're heirs of God.
Amen.
That's enough. If that verse ended right there, we put a period, would that not be enough?
Amen.
Look at the love and mercy of God. Continue on.
And joint heirs with Christ.
And what?
Joint heirs with
joint
Christ.
Heirs with Christ. Explain that to me, Brother Reddy. When he says joint heirs, does he not mean that we are brothers with Christ?
Amen.
Does he not mean that we are brothers with the one who went to the cross for us?
Amen.
Does he not mean the one that rose from the dead the third day? Does he not mean
Amen.
That? I can't understand that love, can you? Well, I sure am grateful I've got it.
Amen.
Amen.
So therefore, go ahead.
If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Amen. Tell you what, that suffering is going to come from segregating that which is demanded by God. We may have a job, and our employer says to us, I want you to tell a lie about this. It's going to really help the company. No, I can't do that. You do that or you won't have a job here. You made segregation. You have a choice, don't you? You can either segregate yourself from God or segregate yourself from that work.
That's true.
And you segregate yourself from that work. What else does he say?
Says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Whatever it is that we go through on this life, the glory is going to be so much more, we won't even think about it. We won't even know anything about it.
Amen.
We'll be in the presence of God for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
He will be our light. He
Amen.
Will sustain us for eternity.
Amen.
It is an existence without end. How wonderful that is. But he demands segregation in order for that to take place.
Amen.
Think with me on that. Think with me on that thought. If we remain segregated,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking about because of color,
mm-hmm.
or we have a building, you have a building,
mm-hmm.
if we remain segregated, it must not be because of race. God has taken away that spiritual segregation. He has retained this.
Amen.
That which deals with that which is truth. But he has taken away the race segregation. Look with me, if you would, Brother Jerome. If I remember right, you read also.
Yes, sir.
Do you mind reading Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 26 through 28? Galatians 3, 26 through 28. Galatians 3, we're going to start, Brother Jerome is going to start reading for us in verse 26. For we are what, brother?
For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
How is it that we become children of God?
By faith in Christ
Jesus. By faith in Christ Jesus. For what?
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
If you've been baptized into Christ, you have put him on.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
There's neither Jew nor Greek.
There's what?
Neither Jew nor Greek.
Brother, maybe you weren't listening to the lesson. I told you that there was a segregation made by God where he separated out the Jews from the Gentiles.
Amen.
And I heard some amens on that.
Amen.
Now read that right.
There's neither Jew nor Greek.
He's just persistent with that, isn't he? There's neither Jew nor Greek. In what capacity there's neither Jew nor Greek? Keep reading.
There is neither bond nor free.
I'll tell you what, there are those that are held in captivity even today and have always been since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
There is neither male nor female.
Let me tell you what, if that's the case, how in the world do you not get here? He's not talking about that. Keep going.
For ye are all one in Christ
Jesus. We are what?
Amen.
One in Christ Jesus.
God has taken away the segregation and separation
Amen.
Through who?
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
He has taken that away.
Amen.
Now you think about that for a moment. God had a people that he had separated. that he had protected, that he gave instruction to. I don't want you to be affiliated with the influence of the idolaters, those Gentiles. I don't want you to do that. But you know, it's exactly the same thing today, isn't it?
Amen.
He has named his people. What are we? Turn over to First Peter, the second chapter in verse 9. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Has he made segregation between us and anyone else? 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. We're going to get a reading there. Ray Brown, do you read yet? Okay. Let's go ahead and get a reading on that. And I'm going to start back here with... Let me tell you about Ray Brown. Ray Brown, Daryl, and myself all started out at the mine in 1977. I'm sorry, Ray Brown and myself started at the mine in 77. Daryl was over at the power plant for the most part. But we started at the same time. I am Ray Brown's daughter's uncle. Because I spent more time with Ray Brown than I did with my own family. So we're related. We're related. Okay. So, Brother Jim, would you read this, please?
Yes, sir. It says, but ye are a chosen generation.
We are a chosen generation. Chosen, showing forth that there has been segregation that is made. Mm. Separation that has been made. Continue on.
A royal priesthood.
Not just a priesthood, not one that can trace its lineage back to Aaron, but rather a royal priesthood that traces its lineage back to who? Christ Jesus. Go ahead.
And holy people.
We are a separated people. That word holy, hagamos, in the Greek means to be separated. Continue.
A peculiar people.
A peculiar people or a set apart people. Now, there's some of us pretty peculiar. But what he means there is that we are separated.
Amen.
Go ahead.
That you should show forth.
How is it that we maintain that condition of being a chosen generation? Mm-hmm.
That we should
show forth. A royal priesthood. I'm not ready yet.
Okay.
I'm
getting excited over here.
A royal priesthood. A separated people.
Uh-huh.
How do we attain that? Continue forth. Mm-hmm. Now.
That you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Have you ever talked the Bible with anyone that talks about faith only? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Think about this from what he just read there. Mm-hmm. And let's just use Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Mm-hmm. We have a whole listing of the faithful. Give me some names there. We have Abel. Mm-hmm. We have Noah. Mm-hmm. We have Abraham. Mm-hmm. We have Moses. We have David.
Sarah.
Solomon. Rahab. There are just many that are named. Let me ask you this. How did we know that they were faithful? Don't anybody in here say, because it says so. Understand that. Let me suggest to you, the only way that we know that they were faithful was by what they did.
Amen.
If they did nothing, they would not have been presented to us as the faithful. But because of what they did,
amen,
therefore we understood that they were faithful. The same thing is true for us in the reading that we have.
Amen.
We show forth what?
The praises.
The praises of God. In what way? In the way that we live, in the way that we do the Lord's will. Think about it for a moment. This is a great blessing. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9. What a great blessing that is there. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. None of us are saved except by the grace of God.
Amen.
But once we're saved, verse 10 then picks up, doesn't it?
Yes, it is.
You know, there's so many don't want verse 10 to be there. Mm. But verse 10 is there. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For what?
Unto good works.
Unto good works.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. You can't earn your way to heaven. That's exactly right.
Amen. Mm.
We are saved by grace through faith, verses 8 and 9.
Amen.
Not by works that we have done.
Amen.
But once we are saved,
amen,
we can show forth our faithfulness.
Amen. Amen.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, amen, unto good works that what?
Which God has before ordained.
Are you telling me that God made works for us to do? Absolutely. That we should do what?
That we before ordained that we should walk in them.
Let me get you to pay attention to your Bible. And we're not going to go through it right now. I want you to know. Something for you to read a little bit later on. The word walk is used 7 times in Ephesians. The word walk, past tense, is used 1 time. It is a book It is a letter expressing to us how we conduct and carry ourselves segregated from the world, separated and apart from them, but given then unto God. That's what Ephesians is about. That's what Ephesians... Take a look at that. Study your Bibles and mark each time he uses the word walk, and then that one time where he is in the past tense, walk, and consider those things. Here we have then segregation that is given by God in the spiritual sense, but I'll tell you, it cannot be. It cannot be from the physical aspect. You know, whenever I think about this, I think about the reason for a sermon such as this. And I preach it for two reasons. First of all, the scriptures are clear that the reasoning of men about physical segregation is not the reasoning of God. It's not the reasoning of God. Turn over to 1 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. I've got to give you the book, don't I? Leave that one up to yourself. No, I'm going to help. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Paul was teaching Timothy about prayer, verses 1, 2, and 3. Who do we pray for? We give supplication for all men, including who? Those that are in authority as far as the government is concerned. We should pray for our president, whether we like him or not. We pray for him. We pray for the office that he holds, and he does things so that it benefits us, and especially in the spiritual sense, so that we can continue to worship just as we are right now without fear.
Amen.
We pray for him. So then he comes down to verse 4. Brother Reggie, what does he say?
Is that chapter 2?
That's chapter 2 and verse 4 of 1 Timothy.
Okay. Who will have all men to be saved?
No. Brother, just black people. We'll just have black people to be saved because the whites are not worthy of it. We don't want any Orientals in there. Jews, certainly, they had crucified Jesus, pushed them off to the side now. But the black people are the ones that are spiritual. Black people are the ones that God wants to save, no one else. Is that what he said?
It's not what he said.
It's not what he said? What did he say?
It says, who will have all men to be saved?
Are you telling me he said all men?
All men.
What races does that include?
That's all men.
Everyone there is.
Amen.
Who will have all men to do what?
To be saved.
To be saved. Why did Jesus Christ come to this earth, die on that cross, and then be risen the third day? Who was it for? Each and every one of us. Everybody knows John 3:16, don't they? That is the example of the desegregation that is spiritual through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And so, what else does he say?
He says, and to come into the knowledge of the truth.
Coming to the acknowledging, the Lord wants all of us to come to the acknowledging of the truth. Mm-hmm. In other words, the understanding of the truth and the humility to say, I'm wrong, God's right.
Amen.
Go ahead.
There is one God.
There's one God and
one mediator.
One mediator between man and God, the man who?
The man Christ Jesus.
The man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. The man Christ Jesus. He is our mediator now.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us to be saved. I preach this lesson from the standpoint of what God wants me to preach about.
Amen.
And it's not about race. It's not about ethnicity. It's not about those things. It's about what God wants. But there's a second reason that I preach this. Turn over to Romans 14, chapter, verse 11 and 12, Brother Jerome. Romans 14, chapter. Romans 14, 11 and 12. The other reason that I preach this lesson is that one day I'm going to stand before God and give an account of myself. And when I do, I don't want God to say to me, there was a congregation a mile and a half from you that was a people of color, and you have nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Amen.
Read Romans 14, beginning of verse 11.
For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow.
Stop just a moment. Every knee shall bow. You understand that shows humility. At some point in time, there will be a time when the Lord returns, and there will no longer be unbelievers.
Amen.
Amen.
Those that come to belief at that time, even though they had denied the Lord all through their lives, that faith at that time will help them no more. As a matter of fact, faith will be taken away.
Amen.
Because we look by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith will end at the end of time. They will see the Lord and they shall confess Him. What else will take place? They will bow the knee. What else?
And every tongue shall confess.
Every tongue shall confess. Those that deny. Let me tell you what, as far as the sinner's prayer we mentioned just a moment ago, there was a man by the name of Robert Ingersoll that in his heyday in the 1940s was a philosopher and an agnostic. And in, I believe, 1946, if I remember right, he was on his deathbed. And I'm going to give you his prayer. Quote, unquote, it's recorded, it's documented. You can go out and Google it. You can find it. This is what he said as he was about to pass this life. O Lord, O God, if there be a God, save my soul, if I have a soul, from hell, if there be a hell. Can you imagine facing your God after saying something? He did. He did. He's in the hands of just God. But let me tell you, just like, you know, we have weather forecasters, I can forecast there's a little heat in this. Go ahead.
So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Okay. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. There's a man that we knew, he is deceased. Ray Brown and I knew him, Daryl knew him also. And McKinley, I won't give the last name, McKinley. And I used to have some religious discussions with McKinley. And McKinley says, you know, how many people do you think have, just to this point, have lived on the face of this earth? And I said, it's innumerable. He said, exactly, exactly. He says, when the Lord comes, and he says, we all go up there, and one by one, we stand before God, and we say, Lord, this is the reason that I need to go to heaven. This is what you need to remember. You know, think back to what I did, and I'm making my prayer. I did some good things in my life, you know. He says, as they do that one by one, how many years will pass? He says, I'm going to stay in the background, and God will never get to me. That was his reason. Let me tell you what that word account means there in verse 12. It's not standing before the Lord saying, Lord, this is the reason you let me into heaven. What it means is the verdict. Amen. You see, the trial is right now.
Amen.
We go through the trial right now. What we receive when this life ends is no longer than the chance in that trial. It is the verdict. Amen. And that verdict is either enter into my rest, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me. I never knew you, you that work iniquity.
Amen.
Will you hear one or the other? And so I don't want to stand before God at the end of time with a congregation of 1.5 miles round numbers away from me and have the Lord say, why in the world didn't you at least go down and talk to those folks? So I'm not going to be accountable for that because you know what? I've got to talk to those folks. I've got to talk to those folks. Here's the application to this lesson. If we come together the way that we should, and we do what the Lord's will is, still understand that from time to time there's going to be problems. You know why? There's a preacher that was invited to a congregation one time, and this is a true story. I bet that Sister Judy probably knows who it is. And he got there, and he wasn't there for a tryout. They knew him. He was well known in the brotherhood. And one of the elders stood up and said, we want you to come here. We want you to work with us. We want you to know we're a perfect congregation. And he said, I'm not coming. He said, well, brother, why are you not coming? He said, you're a perfect congregation. I come in, I'm going to mess this thing up. And that's really the case. You know, people think about them being, there would be problems. But let me tell you, those problems would be taken away and be mitigated if we follow God's will. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I want to just focus in specifically. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I want to focus in specifically. Verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. Verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. Jimmy, I believe we're back to you, brother.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 4. Yes. Charity suffers long.
Love suffers long. Love suffers long. You know, there may be some things, the way that I preach you don't like. You know, the way that I carry myself, the way that I dress, you may not like that. But love overlooks those things.
Amen.
What else does he say?
It says, it is kind.
Love is kind.
Mm-hmm.
The recognition for that is that you have been forgiven your sins. I've been forgiven my sins.
Amen.
I didn't do it myself. You didn't do it yourself. It's been from God.
Amen.
We've been forgiven from God. Continue.
Love envieth not.
Love does not envy. I sure wish I had those shoes there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Brother Jim says, get your own shoes. Rather, what what love does is says this: I wish I had shoes like Brother Gibbs. I don't want his. I just want one like his.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Love bonnet not itself.
It does not bond itself. Well, you know, we got elders in this congregation. Let me tell you, none of these elders go by a title. And you know why? There are no titles among the Lord's people. So that is not Elder Daryl, Elder Nathan, and Elder Greg. They are Daryl, Nathan, and Greg who happen to serve as elders. And let me tell you, they are our servants.
Amen.
For our protection. Go ahead.
Amen. Then it says, it's not puffed up.
It is not puffed up. Well, you got that preacher. He walks around like a little peacock. Recognition of the fact that whenever that finger is pointed out, there is three more that's pointed back. Go ahead.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Does not behave itself unseemly.
Does not behave itself unseemly because we care and love the brethren. Seeing then we have purified ourselves and obeying the truth. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. Continue on.
Seeketh not her own.
Does not seek my own way. It's either my way or the highway. You ever hear that?
Mm.
We've seen that in people before, haven't we?
Amen.
We've seen that. Go ahead.
It's not easily provoked.
Not easily provoked. Let me tell you what. Man, he just looks at me the wrong way. I'm going to get mad right now. That's not love. Go ahead.
Amen. Think of no evil.
There's no ill intent out of love. Go ahead.
Rejoice if not in iniquity.
You know, that was the problem with the Corinthian church, wasn't it?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 5th chapter, the man that had his father's wife.
Yep.
Paul says that has not even been named among the Gentiles. If you do such a thing,
yep.
He says you should be mourning, but rather you are puffed up. You are proud of it. Shame on them. Go ahead.
But rejoiceth in the truth.
Rejoices in the truth because it is from God and not from man. Go ahead.
Beareth all things.
It bears all things. It puts up with things that maybe we don't even like. Go ahead.
Amen. Believeth all things.
That does not mean that we believe whatever comes down the pipe by men. Brother believes that which is from God. Go
Amen.
Ahead.
Hopeth all things.
Hopes for all things and connected with God as promised. Go ahead.
Endureth all
Endures
things.
Endures all things. That is, sometimes there would be something we just have to overlook. Go ahead.
Loveth never fails.
Stop right there for a moment. Let me tell you, when you look just at that listing right there, and I'm sure that we've all seen people like this. Christians cannot be this way. But if there are those that are looking to get their feelings hurt, they will find a way to get it done.
Yes. Amen.
I mean, you can stick your hand out with the intent of true fellowship. And you stick your hand out, and somebody will say, if they're looking to get their feelings hurt, I don't like where you shook my hand.
Yeah.
I don't like that. So there will be problems, but I'll tell you what, if we take those verses from 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, it will wipe them all away. Because you know what? We're putting God first, replacing us second.
Amen.
Replacing us second. So I present to you this lesson. My fantasy has come true. And I'm proud that it has. I am happy to see each and every one of you here.
Amen.
I am happy, most of all, that we are all children of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I am happy that we have the same Savior, that we follow the same Bible.
Amen.
Hopefully, we're going to be some discussions that are going to be taking place. And I'm hopeful that this congregation has the fortitude, I'm talking about the one that meets here, has the fortitude to put beside past thoughts that they might have, thoughts of them and us, and they think back to that which is presented in Scripture. And we look to worship and serve God. And I hope the same for you. I don't want to meet with those white people. That's all right. I don't either. I want to meet with those that have their clothes stained with the blood of Christ.
Amen.
That's the ones that I want to meet with. So I got to preach this sermon. And I hope it's not the last one I get to preach in your presence.
Amen.
But let me tell you what, we are duty bound. We're duty bound before we end this to tell you that the Lord Jesus died for you.
Amen.
That He went to the grave for you. He was risen on the third day. He expects the same for us in likeness. We put to death that old man.
Amen.
We bury him and we come forth no longer a sinner, but now a saint, a child of God.
Amen.
We come forth out of the waters of baptism, no longer lost, but now saved.
Amen.
So what Jesus has done is exactly what He expects us to do. Also, there may be those here this afternoon calling themselves Christians have not shown forth in their lives.
Amen.
You know, they get dressed up on Sunday, like we all do. Come and they shake hands with everybody like we all do. Make statements of "so good to see you" like we all do. Walk away from that mirror out into the world on Monday and we look just like the world. Let me tell you, John speaks to that, and we still have a merciful God, a merciful Savior. 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
And so if you have not been living the way that you should, you have brothers and sisters that are here that will pray with you and for you.
Amen.
Let's make sure that when we stand before God, we say, we are one.
Amen.
If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.
If the fountain free.